VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Just before we introduce our guest for today, those of you who are listening in the state of Wisconsin, of course, we know there are many. Just an hour ago, we were alerted that Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin has suspended in-person voting in tomorrow's Wisconsin election. As late as last Friday, he repeatedly had said he lacked authority to do so. And evidently, after prodding from the editors of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and from other liberal groups who challenged him to go ahead and test his executive authority, and by the way, I'm saying this live at 2:02 p.m. on Monday, April 6, Central Time, legislative leadership is now appealing to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We're going to see what happens next, if what will happen on this appeal. But we will be having a full program concerning this matter tonight at 7 o'clock. Central Time on WVCY Television, which we also stream at VCYAmerica.tv. VCYAmerica.tv. Plan to join us 7 o'clock this evening, 7 p.m. Central Time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there appears to be a coordinated attack against Christianity in regard to the coronavirus. We saw the immediate closure of church after church while abortion centers, liquor stores, and marijuana dispensaries were declared to be essential. Recently, the co-host, Brian Pitts, on I believe it was the Nightline program, had entered an interview, ended this interview with Vice President Mike Pence by asking him whether he talks to God about feeling remorse for Americans who have died because of steps the federal government did not take soon enough. And folks, the issues of attack and even mocking prayer is something that's become commonplace. As you know, on previous Crosstalk programs, we've brought to your attention the editorial that appeared March 27, 2020 by Catherine Stewart with the headline, "The Religious Right's Hostility to Science is Crippling Our Coronavirus Response," appearing in the New York Times. Well, targeted in this attack piece was the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. With us today on Crosstalk is the founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, Dr. E. Calvin Beisner. They are a network of some over 60 Christian theologians, natural scientists, economists, and other scholars educating for biblical earth stewardship, economic development for the poor, and the proclamation and defense of the good news of salvation by God's grace received through faith in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. He's the author of many books and edited many more, and he, matter of fact, in 2014, was honored by the Heritage Foundation as the Outstanding Spokesman for Faith, Science, and Stewardship Award at the 9th International Conference on Climate Change. Dr. Beisner, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk.
Jim, thanks very much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be with you, even at a time like this.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, the reverberation since this editorial appeared in the New York Times charging the Cornwall Alliance with a denial of science and critical thinking. And how this now haunts our response as a nation to the coronavirus. Before we talk about the issues in the article, what do we know about the writer of the article, Catherine Stewart?
Well, we don't actually know an awful lot about her, other than that she claims to be a journalist. She wrote a book back in 2013 that tried to warn people that Christians are trying to turn the public schools into propaganda devices for the Christian faith and force all public school students to become Christians, which is, of course, pure baloney. And just early this year, she published a new book called The Power Worshippers, that accuses Christians of exalting and worshiping fossil fuels and the power that we get from them. It's really rather strange that she should be accusing the Cornwall Alliance of being anti-science, because neither in the notes about the author in her two books, nor in the Wikipedia article about her, is there any indication of any kind of scientific education for her? And in fact, there's no indication in the Wikipedia article of any education for her at all. Presumably, she has a college degree, mm-hmm. but who knows what it might be in. And had she bothered to take the time, as any decent journalist would have done, to have visited Cornwall Alliance's website and looked at the list of scholars who are members of our network of scholars, almost 70 of them, she'd have discovered that about a third of them are natural scientists, all with PhDs, including some of the world's top climate scientists, and on and on. She would have found scientific papers there on our website and so on. So it's clearly a hit piece. What she does is she tries to condemn us and other Christians who think differently from her about climate change, particularly. She tries to condemn us by guilt by association, by caricature, by building up a straw man and attacking it, all sorts of other just illogical and, frankly, quite scandalous measures.
So let's address the issue that she wrote about. I mean, Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation mentioned right in this editorial, accused of being science. She used the term science denialism and religious nationalism or Christian nationalism. Go ahead and address the issues specifically in which she accuses Cornwall Alliance without foundation of being science denialist.
Well, as I just said, you know, the fact that roughly a third of our scholars are PhD natural scientists ought to stand against that. We've published many articles on our website as well as in various different magazines, journals, online sites, and so on that are highly scientific in nature. We don't deny science. Instead, we practice science, the root of which is really expressed in the Apostle Paul's instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to test all things, hold fast what is good. That's the real scientific mind. And so we try to demonstrate that. What she seems to be really particularly accusing is that the Cornwall Alliance and our allies have influenced the Trump administration so that it lacks the scientific expertise necessary to respond adequately to the coronavirus pandemic. That's rather interesting in that two of the world's top scientific authorities on epidemics and pandemics, Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx, are at the very top of the White House coronavirus response team, and somehow or other, Catherine Stewart, with, as far as I can find, no scientific credentials whatsoever, wants to tell us that the Trump administration has no capable scientists guiding its response. That's just silly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, she even used in this editorial charging that the president has a tendency to trust his gut over the experts. And I wonder then, who are those people that are with him on the platform as he's conducting his briefings?
Yeah. You know, the president, I think, has a rather difficult course to walk here. On the one hand, he needs to sort of be the spokesman for the task force and to communicate the important information about the dangers of the coronavirus pandemic to the American people. And on the other hand, as president, he also kind of gets stuck with the task of trying to be cheerleader-in-chief. He's trying to promote we-can-do-it kind of an attitude mm-hmm. among the American public so that people don't just simply fall into despair and despondency. That results in his kind of sounding almost self-contradictory. He'll sometimes say things about how terrible things look, and yet he'll also say, but, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It mm-hmm. looks as if things are ready to turn. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pretty difficult track to trace. Well, and I don't think that, frankly, he deserves an awful lot of the criticism that he gets for it. But he certainly has these really top scientists, not only Fauci and Birx, but others as well, who are taking part in the press conferences and delivering good factual information as well as guiding, I think, in many respects, good policy. It's not something that I agree with everything, mm-hmm. but I think that in many respects it's good.
And as you point out, he's seeking to give a message of hope to the American people, whereby we're seeing that the fans, just pushing back and forth the idea of fear and despair through the media and other sources, trying to keep the populace just totally, afraid and despondent. I saw even calls to the suicide hotline have been increasing since all of this has taken place.
Yeah, that's correct. And frankly, suicides increase anytime we have a significant economic downturn. And I think, frankly, that what we're seeing in the way of calls to suicide hotlines increasing is probably far more in response to the economic decline, the enormous damage to our economy that's already been done, not so much by the virus itself as by the government's responses to the virus, forcing the vast majority of people to stay home instead of go to work has meant the closing of the doors of millions of businesses all over this country and enormous slowdowns for practically all other businesses all over this country. That results in lost income. It results in bankruptcies, things like that. Those, in turn, tend to result in deep depression for many people. Yeah. And those who have been in any way in danger of suicidal thinking tend to get pushed closer to the edge for that. So I think that this is one place where I increasingly, as I watch the data build over weeks, as I come to understand better and better the theory about pandemics and so on, increasingly I think we may see greater harm in terms of lives lost from the economic decline pushed by the lockdown policies across this nation and around the world than from the virus itself.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a great tragedy.
It is a tragedy, and that's even something that President Trump warned about, that we can't have the cure, our response to this, be worse than the event itself, namely that of the coronavirus. And certainly there are many, many questions being raised as to the severe lockdown that is taking place. We've gone through times in the past. Have we ever gone to such extreme measures as a nation before?
No, we haven't. Not even in World Wars One or Two, not during the Spanish flu epidemic of 2018 to 2019. This is really quite unprecedented, and I think that we have a tremendous need to broaden the input to our decision makers, our government elected officials, to go beyond the medical community to the economics community.
Yeah, good point. Dr. E. Calvin Beissner with us here today on Crosstalk. And when we come back, we're going to learn about this tweet that went out from former President Barack Obama, warning about the consequences of climate denial. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution enter into the abortion debate?
It certainly does, Chris. In fact, evolution has long been used as the justification for abortion. Even today in abortion clinics, young pregnant girls are told about an evolutionary concept called embryonic recapitulation, in which the fetus, as it grows in the mother's womb, remembers its evolutionary ancestry. And at one point, it's just a fish. And it's okay to kill a fish, so you can abort in those months. What's the harm? In such a way, many are deceived into murdering their unborn children. But the fetus is a person. Humans were created in the image of God. The human fetus is just not finished growing yet, but it's human in every sense, both scientifically and biblically. So you see, Chris, even modern societal issues go back to Genesis for more understanding.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Kelvin Beissner, and we're asking the question, is the religious right crippling the coronavirus response? Well, according to an editorial in the New York Times, they say we are. And with us today, who is targeted in the hit piece, is the Cornwall Alliance for Stewardship of Creation's founder and national spokesman, Dr. Kelvin Beissner. We're talking about that issue here today. And I know, Dr. Beissner, your organization is also greatly concerned about the poor. And as such, we see that the response, again, to the coronavirus and this lockdown, the permanently closing of businesses is going to happen, the bankruptcies are going to happen, the trickle effect that this is going to have upon many, that should cause us great concern. You mentioned, I just highlight that further, the economic community needs to speak alongside with the medical community here.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, it's been very important that we hear a whole lot from the medical community about how a virus like this spreads, what are the risks from it, the fatality rates, things like that. Little by little, that information is getting clearer as we get more and more data. But we have not heard an awful lot so far, and particularly in terms of official advice to the elected politicians who make the decisions about policy from the economic community. And yet, economists have studied for generations the relationship between economic production, on the one hand, and human life expectancy, fatality rates, annual fatality rates, and so on. And there's really very, very strong evidence, just conclusive evidence, that if you induce an economic downturn, if one happens without induction, but in an economic downturn, mortality rates, that is the percentage of people who die in a given year, rise, and they can rise very significantly. I was recently reviewing about five different major studies published in this on this in economics journals, and found that really, if you apply the lessons learned from those studies to what's going on right now, we've already lost enough from our economy because of the mandated close downs of so many businesses and the loss to the stock market and the like. We've already lost enough that we should expect at least, I think, 20,000 extra deaths this year, possibly as many as 50 to 100,000 extra deaths this year, just from that, not from the virus.
Wow.
And it could even go significantly higher if we continue to see the economy shut down as it has been.
Dr. Beissner, what response have you had at Cornwall Alliance since this article appeared in the New York Times?
Well, we've had a variety of different things. We got some pretty angry emails from various people who just simply read the article and assumed that it accurately described us as anti-science and so on. We had some that figured that there must be a special place in hell for people like us.
Wow.
But we've also had some encouraging responses as well from people who've seen that article or seen my response to it and have written and really commended us for standing firm for good science and good economics, at the very same time that we're also standing firm for the Christian ethic of you know, looking at how does this policy affect the least of these Christ's brethren, the least of the people in our community. You know, these extreme measures that are shutting down so many businesses, they're not going to do huge harm to the wealthiest people in our society, certainly not to the 1%. They're going to do huge harm to the poorest people in our society, the ones who are going to be the first to lose their jobs, the ones who depend on their weekly paychecks to get the basics of life. And we just, as a society, and as Christians, particularly within our society, we shouldn't be satisfied to see that happening.
Right, right. Let's move to another issue. And we see former President Barack Obama coming out of the woodwork recently and sent out a tweet saying this: "We've seen all too terribly the consequences of those who denied warnings of a pandemic. We can't afford any more consequences of climate denial." Address that, if you would, because he's purporting that this what we have today is a result of global climate change that we didn't do anything about.
Well, first of all, global climate change has absolutely nothing to do with the mutation of the coronavirus that came as COV2, COVID-2, COVID-19. There's just simply no connection there whatsoever, and it's really laughable, except that it's so tragic, that former President Obama would try to assert such a connection. Second, there's no evidence that any change in climate has any effect on the spread of the disease once the virus itself developed through mutation. This, I think, is basically former President Obama taking this as an opportunity to attack people with whom he disagrees, and yet with absolutely no intellectual foundation whatsoever for what he's said.
I really believe, too, this should open our eyes to the dangers of the Green New Deal, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the United Nations plans there, that promote such things as the herding of people into large metropolitan areas, mass transit and so forth. I mean, these are kind of philosophies that are actually exasperating the problem.
Yes, they are. I am not opposed to urbanization. There are many benefits to urbanization. But one of the problems that has come with the anti-growth movement in America is that, for instance, in the San Francisco area, increasing pressure is being put on for the builders of new residential housing to build it in the terms of small apartments in high-rise condominiums. That's where you get the very high densities that really promote the spread of viruses like this. This is why, frankly, there's a very, very strong correlation between population density and the rate of infections of the coronavirus, or frankly, any other contagious disease. They will always spread more rapidly in highly dense population areas than in much less dense areas, which is why New York City, which is the most dense population urban area for the United States, is the epicenter for this disease this year, and why New Jersey, which is the most densely populated state, is the number two. So we've got to see that these folks behind the Green New Deal, who are pushing for increasingly dense urbanization, mm-hmm. and for getting people out of private vehicles into public transportation, out of single family homes into apartments and high rises and so on, they're pushing for a policy that actually makes us more vulnerable to diseases, not less.
Yeah. You know, the term science deniers was used against your organization, but we know science tells us that life begins at conception, and yet we have science deniers out there who are saying abortion is essential during this pandemic, while people exercising proper physical distancing outside the clinics with signs, they're breaking orders of a governor. That's not acceptable, but taking innocent life is.
Yeah, well, you know, Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom personified in the poetry there says, "All they who hate me love death." Mm. And what we're really seeing here is the fruition of that insight. People who hate wisdom ultimately that's Christ. He is the Logos of God. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People who hate Christ are ultimately going to love death. And so we're seeing them supporting the very industries that bring death to people and opposing the activities that bring life to people, including, most importantly, spiritual life. So we have orders that churches are not to meet together. Now, I frankly think that there is good reason to avoid large gatherings and densely packed gatherings, that's a part of our love of neighbor. But for our government to order churches not to meet while they're allowing such things as abortion clinics and liquor stores and marijuana dispensing stores to operate, that's not only, I think, terribly inconsistent and just bad thinking as far as what's good for people, it also is, I think, a violation of the First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion. Mm-hmm. And I think, frankly, it's one of many different ways in which our federal and state governments' responses to the coronavirus pandemic right now are involving a lot of violations of our constitutional freedoms. And one of the big challenges for us as we get through this is going to be to restore protection of those freedoms and to push our government back inside its proper boundaries of limited constitutional government rather than the very autocratic government that we have right now.
Dr. Meissner, I also want to point out on the interview here today with you that you have resources available at Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation that would counter what Catherine Stewart asserts in her New York Times hit piece. And for those who are uncertain, who want to check out the facts as to where does Cornwall Alliance stand compared to what they read about in her hit piece, how can they get the information? How can our listeners become more informed on this issue of climate change? Is it man-made, man-caused? How do we respond to this? Tell us about what resources you have available there.
Well, we have a lot of different articles and major studies. We have books and DVDs available in our online store. All of this is at cornwallalliance.org. That's cornwallalliance.org. And people can subscribe to our email newsletter that comes out a couple of times a week. That keeps them posted on new developments. They can also follow us on Facebook, Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation on Facebook. And we have a channel on YouTube as well, where we have a large number of videos, lectures, interviews, and the like that can educate people on all of these issues related to biblical earth stewardship, taking good care of this planet that God has made and put under our care, and economic development for the very poor around the world.
Folks, check it out again, cornwallalliance.org. I'm sure you'll find links to the Facebook and YouTube from that site as well. We're going to open our phone lines, give you opportunity to ask questions of our guests today or brief comments. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. In fact, the religious right has been accused of crippling the response to the coronavirus. We'll be back with your questions and comments after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, the number 800-733-9829.
VCY introduces you to the classic film, A Thief in the Night.
Suddenly and without warning, literally thousands, perhaps millions of people just disappeared. A few eyewitness accounts of these disappearances have not been clear, but one thing is certainly sure. Millions who were living on this earth last night are not here this morning. Speculation is running high that some alien force from outside our system has declared war on our planet, and some feel it to be a spectacular judgment of God.
A Thief in the Night portrays what could happen when Christ comes back for his church. This powerful drama, available on DVD for a donation of $10, Or obtain the entire 4-pack prophecy set, including A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and Prodigal Planet, all for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Well, our phone lines filled up very quickly here this afternoon. We'll be picking up your calls here momentarily. Write down the number as it becomes available, 800-733-9829. Just before we pick up our first call, Dr. Beissner, we saw a response in the so-called stimulus package of in excess of $2 trillion. We understand that there's another somewhat kind of a package coming after that one, and supposedly there are those working on another package after that. There have been those who have been contacting the President Trump and the different ones within the Senate and Congress say, hey, let's exercise restraint in what we're doing here as far as the dollar response. Give us through your perspective in regard to that $2 trillion plus response in stimulus that we've already seen. Could we have done things better?
Well, eventually you pay the piper. The long-term effect on the value of American currency, of the dollar, is going to be horrendous. We will eventually see price inflation follow from this creation of trillions of dollars out of nothing, simply as ciphers in Federal Reserve loans to banks and so on. So we're going to see that problem. But the other problem is that, frankly, most of what's being done with that, I think, is not really what needs to be done. We would have done far, far better if instead of throwing $2.2 trillion across the economy at large, to small businesses, to large businesses, to individuals, and so on, if instead we had taken half that much, or even one quarter that much, and put all of that, directed all of that, to improving our healthcare system, to rapidly building new hospitals, to equipping them with the appropriate equipment, machinery and so on, ventilators and all, rapidly training more people in how to operate that equipment. That would have been a targeted use of the money, and rather than this broad thing that frankly seems to be aimed at nothing more than helping people to feel good about what's going on, but it won't actually have any great improving impact on the situation. Mm.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Judy is calling first. Hi, Judy, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Let me turn the radio down. I heard what you said at 2:02 this afternoon, what our dear governor did.
Yeah, I want to say that that's the side issue. I'd like to stay on our topic right now with the coronavirus and things going with that.
Well, he's thinking about the coronavirus, and in respect to that, this is what he thinks he ought to do.
Okay, and Judy will have more information on that tonight at 7 o'clock. Bobby, you're next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Just in passing, having a better healthcare system would be invaluable, but it takes, you know, like 10 years to train a doctor, and I think it's like 6 years for an RN. So, you know, presuming this whole thing started in, you know, December-ish, I don't think there'd be enough time to do that. But in any case, the main reason I called is that, let me look up his name under who we are, Calvin Beissner, Dr. Beissner.
Yes.
Was pointing out that there's blatant hypocrisy between allowing abortion clinics and what was the other one, cannabis dispensaries, to continue operating as essential businesses, but churches, no, you're supposed to close. Yeah, I see, you know, in one case you've got a bigger group in church, hopefully, than in a dispensary or in an abortion clinic, but the point is well made. But likewise, abortion is bad because every life is precious and priceless from conception. That's, you know, my understanding of your view. And yet,
and that's good science.
You're putting a price on it. Costs too much to continue this shelter in place because the economy is tanking, which it is, without any question. But on one hand, saying every cell is priceless, and on the other hand, saying it's too expensive to try and save lives.
Okay, let's deal with this issue here, Dr. Beissner. And I believe perhaps Bobby didn't hear your comments as to the number of lives that will be lost as a result of the steps that are being taken to stop this economy.
Yeah, first of all, and I warmly embrace Bobby's passionate concern for the sanctity of human lives and of every individual life from conception onward. What we have to do is not to see this as placing the economy over against human lives, placing dollars against deaths. That's not the point. The point is that human life depends on a strong economy. It's very, very clear if you look back in history when the vast majority of mankind lived on the equivalent of what we today would think of about about $2 per person per day, when our economies did not provide purified drinking water, sewage sanitation, adequate nutrition, safe transportation, decent medical care for people, human life expectancy at birth was about 27 or 28 years. That is, the majority of people, the average person, would die by age 27 or 28. That's not a good thing. It was economic growth that lifted human lives out of that and lengthened them. We never, ever save a life. We only buy time. You know, it is appointed to everyone once to die, and then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27 says. So we can never think that we are actually preventing someone from ever dying. What we can do is to delay death for people. And so then it makes sense for us to say, okay, how many added years of human life can we achieve by spending money this way versus how many added years of human life can we achieve by spending money that way? Or to look at it from the other way around, how many years of human life do we lose from the virus versus how many years of human life do we lose from the economic collapse being driven by the responses to the virus? Once we learn to think that way, then we can make more well-informed and wise decisions.
Bobby, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, my understanding is that the best estimate of the lethality, the morbidity was the word they used, but how many people would die is on the order of about 2 million worldwide. And
no, that's not, I'm sorry, Bobby, that's not the best estimate. That is, I'm sorry, you said 2 million worldwide? That was actually the upper end estimate of Dr. Fauci for the United States, not for the world as a whole.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if we don't have far more than 2 million deaths worldwide from the virus. We had estimates vary, but anywhere from about 20 to 50 million deaths from the Spanish influenza of 1918 to 1919. And this seems to be a more virulent disease than that was, with an equal infectious rate that had. However, what Fauci was saying was that roughly 2 million would be about the worst case estimate for the United States, and because of the social distancing, the enhanced personal hygiene, and the various other actions that we have taken to slow the spread, he's reduced that estimate for the United States. A similar thing happened for Great Britain. The Imperial College London model, on which the prediction of possibly as many as 2 million deaths for the United States or 500,000 deaths for Great Britain, that model got revised in light of the restrictions imposed in Great Britain and the United States, and suddenly the deaths forecast for Britain fell to under 20,000, of which roughly half would likely have occurred during this year anyway, because coronavirus kills primarily people who are already immunocompromised or who have heart or lung disease, other things that are close to bringing them to death anyway in their old age. So, you know, we could see a lot of deaths from the coronavirus. We could also see a lot of deaths from the poverty imposed on people by the severe economic restrictions that are coming down as a response to the virus.
Thank you, Bobby, for the call. Gene is next in Michigan. You're on the air,
yeah,
Gene.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, abortion, I mean, you kill more people than probably this virus will. But anyway, on climate change, I worked for a county agency that 28 years inside-outside man custodian. And, you know, you talk about, oh, it's heating up the world. It's always changing. I mean, climate change, I go with Mr. Beisner. It's always changing. Like when I deer hunt in a deer stand, I don't want to take too much time here, but I'll just mention. Okay, 1 minute it's blowing from the north. I always hunt out of a tree stand. Not long after, maybe 15, 20 minutes to half an hour, it'd come from the west, the wind would be blowing. So it's always changing. You know, that's why I laugh when you say climate change. Yes, it changes every sometime. Half an hour, maybe earlier even, every day. So I just want to share that, and God bless, and I like you, Mr. Beisner. Keep up the good work, and you too, Jen.
Thank you for the call, Gene. Next caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want to thank you for taking my call, and this comment may seem a little odd with the coronavirus going on, but I do believe that this is a time for the church. It's almost like God is shouting at the church to consider repentance of medical idolatry. I've been around a lot of people in the medical system, some in my own family, and the medical system, and through my own research, I've discovered that it is now almost entirely, if not entirely, connected to the shedding of innocent blood through pharmaceuticals, pharmacies.
Okay. Tell you what, I think we got your main point. Any response here, Dr. Beisner?
Well, I think really this and every other major disaster that hits any society or even the world as a whole is a wake-up call from God. You know, all of these things ultimately are traceable back to the sin of Adam and Eve, our first parents, and the sinful nature that has come unto all of us because of that. So God gave us mortality as a judgment on that sin, and he gave us all of the disease, all of the natural disasters that come. All of these things are, in one sense, warnings of the far greater judgment to come. And frankly, hell for eternity is incomparably worse than any death from disease, any suffering from disease in this life. And so what we really need to be seeing is a wake-up call for people to repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen. Amen. Up against a break here. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Dr. E. Calvin Beisner, and the website, cornwallalliance.org, cornwallalliance.org. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. There's a globalist organization known as the World Economic Forum, and they've been around for 50 years pushing globalism. Well, recently they released an interactive wheel on their website called the Strategic Intelligence. It's with the World Economic Forum. And what is at the center of their interactive wheel? The coronavirus, COVID-19. And when you interact with this wheel, you see that what they want to do is use this crisis for, quote, global governance. Their words, not mine. They also talk about using the crisis to bring about a digital economy and digital society and continuous monitoring. They talk about many things, including sustainable development and the illicit economy of America. They also claim that one of the threats is anti-globalism. And to fix it, they need civic education, brainwashing of children. The coronavirus is real, but it's being exploited as a psychological operation. Don't be brainwashed.
Incidentally, during the break here, I was just checking the worldometer that keeps everybody abreast as to the number of deaths on coronavirus, as well as deaths from other means. Abortions worldwide, year to date, and that is through today, April 6, 2020, abortions are at 11,245,206. And that the related deaths to coronavirus worldwide right now is at 73,875. Dr. E. Kelvin Beissner with us today. We're going next to Holly, who is calling in. And Holly, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. I love this show. I'm always listening, and I'm really enjoying your guest here that you have today. He said something. He said, "Those who hate me love death." And, you know, I've thought this for so long, and it really resonated with me because we know a lot of these industries, they're all so deadly and they're tied together. I think we're seeing a lot of that surface through the coronavirus, and I don't think people are really acknowledging it for what it is. You know, like Dr. Cheng in Wuhan, China, they're using high-dose vitamin C to reduce the severity and prevent contraction of the coronavirus. And they have several clinical studies already for proving its success. But we won't see that because of the censorship. And, you know, they keep putting in front of us these things like the models that always seem to be wrong, and some are useful, but they've all been wrong so far. And I really believe it's just to feed that fear factor, because fear itself is deadly, and yeah. I think that's what's going to lead to the suicides and everything else.
Okay.
And
Holly, tell you what, because we have brief time, do you have any direct question here for our guest today?
Monopolize on this, and it's Christians that are going to stand in the way.
Okay, thank you very much. Richard is next in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Richard.
Hey, how you doing? I just got a question. Word on the street is that, I don't know if anybody looked into it or not, the effects of the radiation from the 5G networks. They said it's causing flu-like symptoms, people going to the hospital and stuff.
Okay, let's deal with the coronavirus, Richard.
Yeah, that's what the coronavirus. They're saying that's kind of like, that's a conspiracy.
Is there anything between 5G and the coronavirus, Dr. Beissner?
Not so far as I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a complete lack of any causal connection there.
Yeah. Okay. Ed is next in Franklin. You're on the air, Fred. Or Ed, that is.
Hi, Jim. This is Ed. I usually volunteer and stuff like that. Isabel's my granddaughter.
Please go right to your question. We're almost out of time.
Well, it's not a question. I just want to, Dr. Beissner, I can prove that carbon dioxide is not causing global warming. I have a paper I'd like to join with you and show that you can easily demonstrate, rather than say, being denying or something like that, but you can scientifically show that carbon dioxide is not.
Ed, if you will send that paper to stewards@cornwallalliance.org, stewards@cornwallalliance.org, I'll be glad to take a look at it.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed. Terry in Danville, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I know we've limited time here, but let Dr. Beissner correct me if I'm wrong. All natural processes, all physical evidence, and all scientific laws point to a young Earth and universe of less than 10,000.
Terry, that's not our topic today. Let's deal with the coronavirus issue. Do you have any comment on that particular issue here today, Terry, and our response?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what is your question on our topic today?
Well, I thought we were talking about the science issue concerning attack on Christians.
Tell you what, we're gonna move on. Don in Pensacola, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. God bless you, men. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side, as Christians, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, confused, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Then Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Mm-hmm. Lost people need to realize that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded your mind. So you can't believe the true gospel. Mm-hmm. You can't see the true light of the world, who is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Don. And Jose...
Wonderful.
Yep. Jose,
we need to focus on the knowledge of God, which is the only thing that can deliver us from despair. When we know Jesus Christ, then we know that nothing can separate us from his love, and that God is working together all things for good for those who love him. That delivers us from fear and despair.
We're going to pick up one last call. Jose, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, doctor. My question was, MERS and SARS were both upper respiratory illnesses, and COVID-19 and those two were also coronaviruses, I believe. Do you know how
Correct.
Those two were eliminated? Thank you.
Thank you.
No, they were not eliminated, but the human race achieved what is, at least my understanding, is that we've achieved what's called herd immunity. That is, the proportion of humans who have not developed the antibodies for those is large enough now to prevent a new epidemic of either of those, although you can get isolated outbreaks of them.
Thank you for the call here today. Dr. E. Kelvin Beissner with us today. Our topic is a religious rite crippling the coronavirus response? Dr. Beissner, what would you like to leave with our listeners here in our final minute?
Well, I think the most important thing for us to remember is that that God himself is the real answer to all of our greatest difficulties. If we study his word, if we learn to think about his universe as he's designed it to be, then we can exercise that dominion over nature that he instructed us to do in Genesis 1:28. But that requires that we be reconciled to him, which means that we need to repent of our sin and we need to trust in Jesus Christ. Having been reconciled to him, we need to follow up as we become disciples, learning to obey all that Christ has taught us. So those are the things that I think are the most important, and certainly good science, good economics, good education, all of those are important steps as well.
The website, cornwallalliance.org, that's cornwallalliance.org. Dr. Beissner, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
And folks, thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network as we talk about the critical issues that are impacting us across the nation. Just a reminder again to Wisconsin listeners, tonight at 7 p.m. Central at VCY America Television, we will be having a special program on Wisconsin's election. We stream it outside of Southeast Wisconsin at vcyamerica.tv and encourage our Wisconsin listeners to be tuning in for the broadcast. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk from VCY.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.